Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob.
Bob.
What?
Bob.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, July 14, Bastille Day 2022. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. As always, hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 543 of the Biden-Harris administration, 113 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon, of course, is BobSeskaShow.com. After a really long break, here they are, the Goth Ninjas. Yes, we're all here. Jody, Spicy Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/from the bunker. Also, David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex. His music project is Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Yeah. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, bitches.
All right, bitches. So much to talk about today. I want to start with the 1-6 committee hearings from Tuesday, because they occurred right as we were doing the show on Tuesday, so I didn't get to talk about them on the show. We covered it a little bit with Cliff Schechter on the Wednesday show yesterday. Those of you who are expecting Robbie Pickering from Gaslit on Stars, we had to postpone his appearance to next week. So he's definitely going to be on next Wednesday. So in his place, we brought in Cliff Schechter for his monthly visit.
Monthly visitation with Uncle Cliff.
Yeah. So I think
instead of Aunt Flo, I mean, right.
I was waiting for someone to make that remark about the idea of Cliff stopping by once a month. And I'm so glad that it was you, Jody, not someone else. I never thought it would be Buzz necessarily, but I wasn't sure. I was anticipating someone in the comments to go, should you really be saying that Cliff stops by
for visitor?
A monthly, your monthly visitor?
The monthly mailman. With his emotional baggage. No. Okay. So much to cover. But the main thing was Tuesday's proceedings, where we learned some stuff that we already knew. And I caution everyone to remember that these hearings aren't necessarily for us, those of us who are constantly absorbing this information. The hearings are for the people who are only casually following along, if at all.
But there's plenty of new stuff in there.
Well, I love the fact that Trump's White House staff, more specifically the White House counsel's office, Pat Cipollone or Patsy Baloney, and his entire crew had to basically give Donald Trump one of those toy pretend steering wheels. You know, like you. Those of you with kids probably have owned one of these things where you attach a plastic steering wheel to your kid's car seat, and so they think they're driving the car, but they're not really driving the car, are they? They're just pretending to drive the car. And it turns out that Donald Trump was kind of pretending to sign executive orders, doing things like appointing Sidney Powell as special counsel to investigate the election and having the Department of Defense collect all the voting machines, confiscate all the voting machines. And then Sidney Powell apparently was going to conduct an investigation into those machines. And the executive order Donald Trump signed, he thought was official, but no one in the White House went forward with the paperwork to actually implement the executive order. So, yeah, Donald Trump got a little pretend plastic steering wheel and he was going pretending to speed down the highway. Isn't this fun? Isn't this fun? Well, no, they're treating you like the child that you are, the reckless maniac trying to overthrow democracy. So, yeah, Trump's pretend steering wheel. It's almost like I thought about this, too, in terms of letters to Santa Claus. You know what I mean? Like, this is, dear Santa, I want Sidney Powell to be special counsel. And then he hands it over to Pat Cipollone, and Pat Cipollone goes, yes, yes, Mr. President, we'll rush this right away to the North Pole. I'm not going to spoil anything in case there are kids listening with their parents right now, but I think we all get it. I think we all get the metaphor. So that was just one part of it. I want to talk about the,
meanwhile, Dr. Pepper is feverishly trying to distance itself.
Sidney Powell.
That was, why was that so weird and unsettling? Did it bother you guys?
It was just like, it was, I don't even know what to say. It was just like, I mean, I know she was probably there for hours and she was thirsty and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we've seen other people drink water and other things. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting that they kept the shot on her doing it. That, yeah, to me, was like an interesting choice for television.
It was really awkward looking because she would be speaking.
She, like,
Sidney
threw
Powell,
her head back, yeah, like a horse, yeah, at a trough. But you, yeah, know,
she would.
And
be
I'm just like, I'm not Martha Stewart. I'm sorry, Bob. You.
Well, I was just gonna say she was in the middle of a thought or something like that, observing something that that she witnessed in the yellow oval room with Eric, right, Hirschman wanting to throw down against the Overstock.com guy. Only in the Trump White House would something
that
Flynn ever happen.
It, yeah, was Flynn who kept jumping up and turning around and calling him a quitter. And he was like, you get your ass over here or you sit the fuck down, little man.
So Sidney Powell would be, right, talking about something like that. She'd be like, okay, hang on 1 second.
It was weird.
Yeah, and then she would put the Dr. Pepper down, Diet Dr. Pepper, and then continue talking. So it was like really obvious, leading people on Twitter to think that she was being sponsored by Diet Dr. Pepper. Like, okay, here, product play. It was like that scene from Wayne's World where they're deliberately, right, showing, yeah, little, yellow, different. And that's the way Sidney Powell was in that testimony.
Like I was saying, though, I'm not, you know, I'm far from being Martha Stewart. Like, I am, but I think if I was on the vid call with the fucking House of Representatives, yeah, I would pour my drink into a glass.
Right.
You know, yeah, it just, call it decorum, but it just seems to me like when you're like facing them, you know, I don't know, maybe that was how she showed her contempt,
I know,
for them.
Maybe, maybe.
Basically acting like she was, you know, sitting on the front porch on a Saturday afternoon in Incest Holler or wherever she lives.
Yeah. Well, meantime, there was, what, Rudy Giuliani pantsless in the cabinet
always
room. I'm throwing
always
in the pantsless part because I think we can safely
you.
We can safely assume that he wasn't wearing pants while he was standing by himself, hanging out in the cabinet room.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Everyone left to get away from you. That's not the definition of a cool party guest, you know? And then, like, Meadows has to, like, headlock him and march him out the gate, uh-huh, so he won't just, like, drift back in like a drunk uncle at a wedding.
Yeah, well, good Lord. It seems like, uh-huh, anyone could get into the White House at that point.
Yeah.
It seems,
well, like Marjorie, like, Three Toes got in. She wasn't even in the fucking Congress yet.
I don't know how that works. I guess I could have gone down there and, you know.
Sidney Powell said a junior staffer let them in, which to me, like, that person needs to be, like, taken before the federal courts because, I mean, you don't just, like, randomly let people into the White House.
Yeah. No, of course not. Yeah, Liz Cheney even called them crazies. I think she was quoting someone else, but that kind of, mm-hmm, stuck. That stuck to the wall. So we're going to go with crazies. We're going to stick with Liz Cheney's quote on that. So the crazies go in, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Flynn, and the Overstock.com guy, which that's someone, I mentioned this on the show yesterday with Cliff, That's someone I don't think we've talked about yet. The Overstock.com guy, whose name I don't even remember. So we're just going to call
Patrick Byrne.
Yeah, didn't he date Maria Butina?
Yes, he was scammed by Maria Butina. That's one of the many things. And he's still allowed in the White House after screwing a Russian spy. Good Lord. Talk about subverting security, subverting democracy. Yeah, the guy who's compromised by Russia, by all means, let him in. And don't just let him into the White House. Let him into the Oval Office. And then, while we're here.
And the residence.
Let's go up to the residence to the yellow oval room. And so that's what they did. They went up there with Trump, and Trump was absorbing all of this nonsense, this plot to overthrow the government, for God's sake. And that's when the career guys inside the White House from the counsel's office, Patsy Baloney and Eric Hirschman, come up, setting a land speed record, apparently, for racing up the stairs of the residence. And they come in.
Oh,
and
I think he was at home in Virginia, actually, or something.
Oh, was he? Jesus.
And he somehow managed to make it through D.C. traffic and into the residence or into the Oval in 15 minutes.
It's incredible. So they go in there. There's almost a fist fight. There's almost fisticuffs inside that room. But what's odd to me is how the dividing line has been created between the crazies who actually worked at the White House in Donald Trump's inner circle and the crazies who didn't work at the White House but who were also in Donald Trump's inner circle. But this is the kind of shit that Donald Trump loves. He loves pitting people against each other. This team, this faction is going to fight that faction, and let's see where this goes. Let's see what happens here when chaos erupts. He has an addiction. He has a fetish for that. Donald Trump just... fetish for chaos. It's like its own little Pornhub vertical. Donald Trump has a bookmark set up on his phone. This is not the first time that we heard about freaks and weirdos getting into the Oval Office to pitch something ridiculous to Donald Trump. It happened many other times. There was a constant chaos. And that's why I'm so critical of people like Pat Cipollone, and despite his entertaining testimony, Eric Hirschman, and despite her truth-telling in the committee and the hearings, Cassidy Hutchinson. These are all people who were around during some of the most heinous trespasses against American government, against American democracy took place, on top of during the course of 2020 leading all the way up to the inauguration, 400,000 Americans killed in a preventable pandemic. And they were all there. Not
kids
a single
in cages
one of them.
At the border. I mean, all that they signed off on. So
right. I mean, from
that was
top
one
to
of the
bottom.
Things during Hutchinson's testimony, which I don't know why everyone's like calling her Cassidy. She is a grown up. She's not a teenager. She's not 16 or 12 or 4. She is Ms. Hutchinson or Cassidy Hutchinson.
Yeah,
but not just Cassidy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like she's been being made into this like it girl. Capitol Hill. And it's like, no, because she was right there. She was saying, you know, I did want to like highlight all the good things he's done for the country, meaning Trump. And I'm just like, good things? What?
What? No, there was nothing good. And that's the point I'm making too, David, which is that these people who have testified, 99% of them have been Republicans. Many of them have been Trump insiders. They were compelled.
And they had to be subpoenaed.
They were subpoenaed. They were compelled by law under penalty of perjury to tell the truth under oath before a congressional committee. And in this case, on live international television. And so they did what they had to do. If they were compelled to be heroes, they would have resigned the first time they saw Donald Trump glitch out and gone immediately to the next nearest microphone and news camera out there on Pebble Beach on the North Lawn where all of the reporters hang out and have their little tents. She could have wandered right out there. And the same goes with Pat Cipollone, Eric Hirschman, Bill Barr, and the rest of the people who finally now, a year and a half after Donald Trump is done being president, are telling the truth after it's kind of too late to do anything about it, at least contemporaneously. So now we're supposed to believe that they're heroes, even though they didn't do a goddamn thing when they had a chance, when it would have been more useful at the time. Now, granted, there is a use for them now, and we're seeing that. Obviously, Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony has created an avalanche of people coming forward. I don't think Patsy Bologna would have testified for whatever it was, 98 hours on Friday, last Friday, if it hadn't been for Cassidy Hutchinson. So in that regard, great. You know,
well, now even Steve Bannon is trying to get his ass in front of the committee.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen, well, no, he was denied because he's going to trial.
Yeah, we don't
Monday.
Really trust you. You're a liar. You have another trial
to
deal with.
He had plenty of time to between the time he was the DOJ went after him until this week to say, you know what, DOJ, let's drop the charges. I will comply. I will be deposed. I will give them everything that they're asking for. And he decides to do it a week before he's supposed to go to trial. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he also hasn't disclosed any of the documents.
No.
So it's just like, you don't get to just like waltz in and make it a circus, because that's what you do, Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
And your two shirts and your filthy barn jacket.
His liver spots, yeah.
Yeah. You don't get to just
14
sort of like,
shirts deep.
Yeah, I mean, we were asking the question on Tuesday's show, is he aware of dermatology? I'm not sure if he is. They have doctors that you can go to for those blotches. But he's going to jail. Mm-hmm. Let's make no mistake about this. According to NBC,
up to 2 years.
Yeah, a judge has once again refused to delay Steve Bannon's trial for contempt of Congress, which is set to get underway on Monday. Judge Carl Nichols said that he was hopeful they would be able to find a jury that hadn't been paying close attention to the January 6th committee hearings and didn't know much about Bannon and would be able to fairly decide the case. So Bannon's lawyers had once again argued that there was too much pretrial publicity about the case. Their latest motion cited a CNN documentary that is supposed to air on the network on Sunday night. Quote, we're still going to be at trial on Monday, Nichols said. Bannon was indicted last year for refusing to answer questions from the Congressional Committee investigating all of this. Nichols previously ruled against delaying the trial, despite Bannon's apparent change of heart last weekend about testifying before the committee. I'll be interested to see that footage. Obviously, there's no fucking way he should be testifying live, repeating some of the things that maybe he said. Because he won't repeat the things that he said in closed doors. He'll go off. He'll go rogue.
He'll lie. Yeah. He'll get theatrical. And this whole committee is out of order. That's what he wants. He wants to do a Roger Stone and like ink the water and make chaos. And I don't feel like the committee has time for that right now. Right. They're just sort of like, Mr. Bannon, you had your chance.
Yeah.
So meantime, Mark Meadows is probably going to jail too. At least that's what Donald Trump's lawyer thinks going to happen. They're going to toss him under the bus. Well, they're throwing everybody under the bus. What's amazing to me is there are still people who are from Donald Trump's inner circle who are defending him, and he is going to steamroll all of these people when it comes down to it. Trump's legal team have attempted to pin the blame for the Capitol attack on Mark Meadows, according to Rolling Stone, naming the president's lawyers, MAGA friend, lawmakers, and others. Mark Meadows, Trump's former White House chief of staff, didn't make the list.
How is it his fault?
I don't know. Trump's inner circle increasingly views Meadows as a likely fall guy for the former president's attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Members of Trump's legal team are actively planning certain strategies around Meadows' downfall, including possible criminal charges. Trump has himself begun the process of distancing himself from some of...
Who's going to charge him from Trump's orbit?
They just say here certain strategies around Meadows' downfall. So I think maybe some people are going to be whispering in ears. At some point, Donald Trump's going to publicly throw Mark Meadows under the bus, like he does with everybody else. Yeah. What was he talking? He was saying something about Cassidy Hutchinson on Truth Central yesterday, I think, or maybe it was Fox News Channel. He was calling
the woman
her.
He never met, who he thinks is crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was interesting. That was a funny reaction from him, where he was saying all the different things that he knows about her right after saying, I know nothing about this crazy woman. So, yeah, that's pretty much in keeping with Donald Trump's ongoing style. So let's talk about the most important news to come out since Tuesday, since after the hearings on Tuesday. Well, actually, it started with the hearings. It started with Liz Cheney dropping a bomb in the middle of those hearings on Tuesday, saying that they've got confirmation that Donald Trump has tampered with one of their witnesses by calling them on the phone. because he's got no personal restraint. And as my motto for Donald Trump goes, Trump always makes things worse for Trump. And so that's what he did. He tried to call a member of the White House support staff, according to CNN, who was talking to the House Select Committee. Two sources familiar with the matter tell CNN the support staffer was not someone who routinely communicated with the former president and was concerned about the contact, according to the sources, and informed their attorney. Well, good for them, whoever they might be.
What I found interesting with what Liz Cheney said was the person declined to answer or respond, which suggests to me that there's a voicemail.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Because declining to answer is one thing. Responding is something happened.
Well, the question
I'm
going to
put
have
on my psychic hat. I'm going to put on and make a prediction here.
Yeah.
I feel a brainwave coming. I feel that this person is the White House valet. And Trump wanted to tell this person to say that they had never had to clean up ketchup off the wall.
That would be fantastic.
Maybe.
And
but
and that there is a voicemail. That's my prediction. We'll
I
see
think
what
there
happens.
Is. Because the word respond suggests that there was something to respond to. Not just not answer. If I don't answer the phone, I'm just ignoring. But if there's a voicemail and I don't respond to it, it's because there was something to respond to.
I don't know if it was the valet, because the president's valet has pretty close contact with the president, no matter who the president might be.
True. They it's a have, support staffer, but that's not a bad idea. Maybe somebody else. Who knows?
Right. It says here the support staffer was not someone who routinely communicated with Trump. That kind of eliminates the valet, but this other detail may...
I don't think valet has the same definition as it does in, like, 19th century, like, body servant.
Well, I always thought valet was like Charlie from the West Wing, who was there to help the president carry the president's jacket, bring in knives for Thanksgiving, etc., that kind of shit.
You mean Dulay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My friend Dulay?
Of course your friend.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not friends with him, but I have met him, and he's very nice.
Yay, our first Hollywood story after the vacation.
Well, no, my mom's husband was in the band that played with Dulé when Dulé was doing Sammy Davis.
Oh, I see. How many West Wing cast members do you know, Jody?
Or have met?
I would say, well, let's start with no. How many do you know by name?
I guess you could say I sort of know Martin Sheen because I do have his wife's phone number.
Yes. Well, that would qualify.
On occasion. So there's, and I've been to their house.
Uh-huh.
So I sort of know him.
So
I've
jealous.
Met his daughter, who was also on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I met Dulé when he was working with my stepfather. I met Rob Lowe years ago, way before he was ever on the West Wing.
Oh, really?
My mom's working with Alice and Janney right now.
Yes,
so I
of
might
course
meet her on
is.
Monday.
Oh, God damn it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to meet Ricky Martin on Monday.
I'm like beet red with jealousy right now. Just like.
No, I told Dulé when I met him what a big fan you were.
Oh, dude, you didn't say that.
I did. I said a very good friend of mine. He lives in D.C. He's such a huge fan of the West Wing. He's going to be so jealous that I met you. And he goes, wait, where does he live? Because if he's, you know, have him come to the show, I'd love to meet him.
Okay, no, I don't think.
C-tickling.
I would totally. I would totally be like Chris Farley in the Chris. Remember that time you brought in the phone number for the Butterball hotline? That was awesome.
He would be very. He was so nice. He was like the kindest human being when I met him. Really,
oh,
really
I'm
nice
sure.
Man.
I'm sure they're all great. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, valet is the person who is like the direct like body man. I think Barack Obama referred to him.
Lays out his clothing.
Military, isn't it?
What's military? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so. No. Just
I think traditionally that may have been back in the 1800s or something. But yeah.
Like, it does sound old school. It's like
it does.
Like what's another old school presidential term? Like plenipotentiary, like something
wow,
like
that.
Valet
look at
that. Plenipotentiary.
Look at your ooh, big brain.
That's a fancy word. Yeah.
There's a few things I do remember from college, and I think that's one of them.
Besides but, drinking?
Yeah, right, right. Well, here's the other detail that I think might steer us in the right direction in terms of who this might be, this witness that Trump tampered with. The call was made after the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson. So maybe it's someone connected to Mark Meadows' office because that's who Cassidy Hutchinson directly worked for.
It's about the ketchup. I really feel like that's the thing
so.
He's fixated
I hope so.
On.
It's all about the ketchup.
It's going to be about the ketchup.
It's like, about the ketchup.
Call me crazy.
Yeah,
To me, that's just how puny his thinking is. Like, that's the one he'll fixate on that and be like, nobody ever had to clean up any ketchup from, you know, like, and that's just like,
goddamn.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that asshole, like, basically destroyed the White House. Mm-hmm. Between ketchup on the walls,
the Rose Garden,
flushing. Well, I'll get to the Rose Garden in a second, but flushing the notes down the toilet probably clogged up all the plumbing in that building. And then, yeah, as you said, the goddamn Rose Garden, which is now like the Eastern European cement foliage cemetery. Yeah. Melania Trump destroyed that. I mean, it's one of those things that's like seemingly minor, but it's just
and
like,
yet,
yeah,
it's vandalism,
right?
On history. It's, on our culture.
Like, yeah. Ripping out the Kennedy roses. One of the most beloved presidents in American history who was assassinated in his prime, and his beautiful, talented wife putting these roses in and basically making White House history. And Donald Trump and Melania Trump go in there and say, fuck it, we're tearing all that shit out. Who wants roses? Who wants color? No one wants color and lovely fragrances.
Let's put
and
some gold paint out here and just and some concrete and some scotch, you know, scotch guarded 3M, whatever the window stuff is that makes the windows look like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that we've been seeing a lot of in the wake of some of these hearings is a lot of excuse making for Donald Trump. For example, in this case with this witness tampering, which I hope the DOJ prosecutes Donald Trump for witness tampering, because this is not, I just wanted to add here before we get to this other little detail about this, this excuse making from Newsmax. This is not the first time we've heard news like this. One of the previous hearings, I forget which hearing, maybe the fifth hearing, at the very end, Liz Cheney put a couple of quotes up on the screen of text messages to witnesses saying, hey, look, you don't want to
offend. Someone wanted me to tell you that they're thinking about you.
Exactly. The coded, like, mafia language. Obviously, witness tampering in writing, which indicates that these are dumb people. It goes back to the Watergate thing. These are not smart people, and things got out of hand. But talk about not smart. This Newsmax host was saying that Trump's call to the witness tampering, may have just been a butt dial. Donald Trump.
I'm amazed he didn't call it a booty call. Just because, I mean, these people are not the most culturally savvy observers.
I don't know what's more disgusting, Donald Trump's butt or a booty call from Donald Trump. Both of those are pretty gross.
Butt dial from Donald Trump. It would sound like a toddler on a rubber mattress, you know, just from the diaper rustling.
Yeah.
It just, you know, like.
But the thing about the butt dial is, who among us has not butt dialed a witness to high treason? I mean, I do it all the time. Yeah.
All the time.
Oh, shit. Did I accidentally dial someone who's under a congressional subpoena? Damn it. Happens all the
look
time.
At my fucking phone. I butt dialed Matt Gaetz.
Yeah. I mean,
damn it.
I mean, we've also learned through these hearings that Donald Trump did a lot of dictating of his tweets, meaning that
yes, he did.
He wasn't necessarily wandering around with a phone in his hands tweeting all that shit. He would go to Dan Scavino and just dictate whatever he had to say. I'd love to hear audio of him dictating one of his tweets.
So that's Dan Scavino's terrible spelling then? I mean, what the fuck is going on?
Maybe. But, you know, it's funny. Is,
random
remember,
capitalizations.
Well, you know, he might have yelled. Yeah. You know, there is that. No, remember he was followed around for how many months with the documentarian?
Oh,
from
yeah.
Wherever. So we probably have that somewhere in the 8 hours of footage where he is dictating dumb fucking tweets.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we also saw that footage of Donald Trump monkeying with that cup of water. Did we talk about that before the break? I don't remember, but there was the documentary footage from what's his name? I want to say Alex Holcomb. I forget the documentarian's name, but anyway.
Holder.
Yeah, that's right. Alex Holder. And so the footage is of Donald Trump sitting for an interview, and they've got like a little side table. I think we did talk about this, where there's like a little side table with a glass of water on a napkin with one of those paper lids on it. And he just is micromanaging the placement of the water. And ultimately, the water gets set down without a napkin underneath of it onto this spindly antique side table, which now has a probably a permanent water stain on there. But yeah, that was a great example of Donald Trump and how he has to meddle in everything. And that's why I find it so difficult to believe that he wasn't directly involved with the entire seditious conspiracy, that it was entirely him and his inner circle of weirdos who came up with this plot from the word go. In fact, prior to the election, I'm sure they started a plot. Well, what happens if Joe Biden ends up getting more votes or more electoral votes? And what are we going to do? So I'm sure it started prior to Joe Biden actually winning the election.
Bannon was talking about it to those Chinese billionaires, like the October 30th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was clearly a plan. Like this was like their plan all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's the funny thing about Steve Bannon is he can't keep his mouth shut. He's just like his former boss.
Right.
He's like a supervillain who has to tell the hero of the story, like has to tell James Bond exactly how James Bond is going to die. And so he just monologues. He monologues like a bad supervillain.
Horrible people. They have no impulse control.
No, they don't.
You know, they eat filth.
Yeah.
They're, you know, drunk all the time, in Rudy's case. You know, and it's just like, and they want to lecture the rest of us about morality and how to conduct our life. And they say we're bad for children, us LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
That's what's completely, it's so insulting. And it so just makes me want to go just poke somebody in the eye as hard as I can. Because it's like, no, you are bad for children. Like, children don't get molested at drag shows. They get molested at fucking church.
Yeah.
Well, this may sound like a strange segue on the surface, but that's one of the reasons why I'm getting really offended by all of the ruminations and debate over 2024 and whether Biden should run or not run or whether Trump's going to run or not run. Because the focus is being lost. Those things that you're talking about, David, especially some of these laws, the Don't Say Gay law, et cetera, some of the laws that are being passed against trans people, obviously these laws that are slowly picking away at American democracy, making it more difficult to vote, putting more power in the hands of state legislators to overthrow the will of people, on down the line. These are all things that are happening, and yet we're still not paying attention to those races at all. We're busily like, will he, won't he? Will Joe Biden run? Is he too old? I don't know.
You know, can we talk about this after the motherfucking midterms?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will deal with 2024 when it's time to deal with 2024.
Exactly.
Right now we have November 2022.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's right. By the way, 92% of fucking Democrats will vote for him if he is the nominee. And Gavin Newsom, by the way, because everybody's thinking he's going to run. He said, no, I am in full support of Joe Biden, and I will campaign for him in 24.
Yeah.
So fuck y'all. I love my governor, and he's doing some great work, by the way. But you know what? Yes, he will be president hopefully someday. But leave this be to Joe fucking Biden. It's up to him whether or not he runs. And you know what? He's got 92% of the vote. Trump barely has 50% of the vote of his own party. So fuck everybody. Stop it. 22 is more important at this point. Fuck it. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yes, right. Exactly. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, Ronald Reagan wasn't doing too well.
Spicy Jody has entered the chat.
Thank you. Perfect. Ronald Reagan wasn't doing too well after his first 2 years. Donald Trump wasn't doing too well after his first 2 years. George W. Bush was riding the wave of 9/11 after his first 2 years. But in terms of Reagan and Trump, you didn't hear any Republicans going, hey, you know what? Maybe we should get someone else in there.
Clinton,
Reagan's super
the 94
old.
94 midterms were bad.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, that's just it. And so were the 2010 midterms. It's like Democrats get 2 years in, they're like, oh, we didn't get our pony. Fuck that guy.
I know. We get no time to clean up the crap that happened prior. And by the way, 4 years of Trump, can you just imagine if we had had 8?
I know.
How much worse it would be. So, I mean, luckily we only had 4 years of that asshole.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, he's trying to clean up some shit with very little support, mind you. So, voters, you want your little pony? Give him more senators. Let's hold on to the House. Give him more people in the House, for that matter, because we have a very slim margin there. The gerrymandering is not as bad as we thought it would be. It's just as bad as it was 10 years ago. So we can do this. We did it in 2018. We can do it again. And we can give him I say give him 12 fucking senators so that Sinema and Manchin don't even matter And I, oh, they can go to the another, they can be a fucking Republican for all I care if we get 12 goddamn senators in there. So fucking vote, people. I'm mad.
Yeah, right. And so the other thing is that I think, you know what, ultimately, if you want to talk about 2024, try to at least balance it out by maybe posting a few things about what's happening in your state legislature, where people can find information about how to volunteer on campaigns, how to register, get more people registered to vote, how to participate in the get out the vote effort. All of those things are important. I mean, it's not to say necessarily that you can't talk about this or that. You can talk about whatever the fuck you want, but it's just important to be balanced and set our priorities in the right way. And the priority, number one, priority, winning elections. And you can go down the list from there. But that's where the focus really needs to be. Because as I said, the most heinous, monstrous shit, state level, state politics. That's where all the crap is collapsing on our heads. And that's why we need to push back at that level too. And it needs to be a long run effort. It can't just be, well, we tried this year and I voted, but it didn't work. So I'm not going to vote ever again. As Paula Poundstone said, saying you voted once and you're not going to vote again is sort of like saying, well, you fed your child yesterday, so why bother? So thank you, Paula Poundstone. That was like the tweet of the week last week, I think. Okay, so more to come here on the show. We're going to get into the latest on what's happening with that OBGYN in Indiana and the awfulness of Fox News Channel and the Republicans in response to all of that, in response to the initial story and the response to what's happened in the last 24, 48 hours on that story. But first, here's the best way to listen to this podcast, The Bob Seska Show, in case you don't know the name of the show. you can listen without all of these commercial interruptions, including the one that's happening right now. And you can do that by going to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. You scroll on down a little bit to the link for the ultimate edition of the podcast, and you can sign up there for just $15 per month. And you might be going, oh my God, $15, it's a lot of money with inflation and gas prices and yada, yada, yada. Well, here's what you're going to get in exchange for your $15 a month. We're going to give you a completely commercial-free version of the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday shows. So no commercials in all three of our free shows. Plus, you're going to get the Shadow Docket bonus show every Tuesday and Thursday. But wait, more dings. You're also going to get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly included in that level of support. It's a fun, fun, fun show. Fun all around on Fridays, including all the politics, too. That's all just for $15 per month. You get everything that we have to offer for that $15 a month. That's why we call it the Ultimate Edition. Again, it's bobseskashow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long.
From Brazil, I always love getting music submissions from all over the world. I think this is our first submission from Brazil. You know what? Now that I'm saying that, I'm thinking we got one a couple of years back. This is the first one I remember. Let's just put it this way. The band is called Lucy and the Pop Sonics. It's a great name for a band. The song is called Chick Chick Boom. And the album is called The Fable or Farce of Two Electro Pandas.
Nice.
Except it is in Portuguese. The name of the album, the lyrics are all in Portuguese. So I'm giving you the English translation of the name of the album. So if you know Portuguese, just translate The Fable or Farce of Two Electro Pandas. I've got a link in the description, Lucy and the popsonics.bandcamp.com. Some amazing electronica here. Just so great. And of course, we want to support all of our international indie bands too. So as I said, link in the description for Lucy and the Pop Sonics. Also, bobsesca.com/music to submit your work to the show. All right. Getting back into things here on our big Thursday show. So this rapist has confessed to assaulting this 10-year-old girl in, Ohio?
Ohio,
yeah. Right. And she was required to have an out-of-state abortion. It turned out to be, a medical abortion, did you say, Jody?
Yeah, she didn't have to have a surgical abortion, thankfully. She didn't have to go through that. Yeah. Because she was 6 weeks and a few days pregnant, and I believe you can take mifepristone. I never know how to pronounce that. But RU486.
Yes.
Or those types of medications.
How did you say it?
Mifepristone.
Sorry.
It's mifepristone, I think, is what it is, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
Right,
I think you can take it up to 10 weeks after you are pregnant. So she was barely, first off, the fact that she was having periods at 10 years old is another bag of problems because of hormones in our food. But regardless of that, luckily, she found out as early as she did, and she didn't have to have a surgical abortion. And that doctor is a hero, and how dare anybody go after her?
And for the previous several days, before this rapist stepped forward,
before he was arrested.
Yeah, right. He was arrested and he confessed.
And weren't there two times that he raped her?
Were there two times? I didn't know there was two times.
I want to say I heard reporting that it was at least twice. So most likely her family knew this person.
Yeah.
Because you don't get a second shot usually if it's a stranger.
Just to give you an idea, those of you without children, just to give you a sense of what a 10-year-old girl looks like.
They're babies.
The young actress who plays young Princess Leia in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series is 10 years old. She could fit into my coffee cup. I mean, she is that tiny and that young looking.
My neighbor's kids are 10 years old. I mean, they're little people. And to think that Ohio was going to try to force this person
who would probably kill her because it would not be able to pass through her pelvis.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not only that, it's just the weight of it, and her hips are not wide enough to carry, because that's the thing with women, and when our hips start to go wide, is to help carry the baby, let alone give birth.
Yeah, that has to be automatically categorized as one of those emergency medical exceptions in the law. Yeah. If there's an underage girl, she's pregnant, that has to be immediately regarded as being a life-threatening. In fact, anyone at any age who gets pregnant, life-threatening.
I guess they would say in Ohio that they could deliver it by cesarean.
Yeah.
She's not, barely 18-year-olds are barely ready to have children, but at least most women, their hips have gotten wide enough to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But a 10-year-old child? No, she's physically unable to carry a baby healthily to term.
And then the Red Hat Entertainment Complex goes to work on the story. And this is prior to the news about the rapist being arrested, where they were essentially saying it was a lie, saying that the Democrats are making this up, the abortionists are making up a tall tale. So it didn't take long before that was completely blown out of the water. But in that time, the lie circulated the globe a bunch of times before the truth got its pants on. And that's the terrible tragedy among many terrible tragedies with this story, that the lie is the first thing that a lot of people heard. The idea that this was made up, that lie. And so an editorial published in the Wall Street Journal on Tuesday evening called this report a fanciful tale that was too good to confirm. Ignoring the doctor's firsthand account, the editorial claimed there is, quote, no evidence the girl exists. The piece criticized Bernard, who's the doctor.
For God's sake, who wrote that shit?
Caitlin Bernard.
Who's the author?
That's a good question. I don't have it. Let me see here if I can find the author of this. It might be the editorial board who authored. Yeah, it is the editorial board. So it's the entire editorial staff.
It's unsigned.
Yeah, it's a group. It's a group opinion. It's the group opinion of the Wall Street editorial board is what it is. So,
bunch of old white guys. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm, there you go. The piece criticized the doctor, Caitlin Bernard, for not providing details that could expose the identity of the 10-year-old, including, quote, where the alleged crime occurred and the Ohio doctor who referred the case. You know what? That's baiting the doctor to reveal the name of the child, therefore endangering the child, too. They suggested,
for a second time.
Yeah, Wall Street Journal.
Re-traumatizing the child because people are going to be calling those people's house.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
They will, because those people are at work, and they will find out that little girl's name, and they will tell the world, and then they will have fucking QAnoners, like, threatening them, and it, just like with Parkland.
Oh, yeah. It's and there's another dimension to this, too, because we're getting into George Tiller, the baby killer territory. I'm going to get to that in a second. But they suggested, the Wall Street Journal suggested, that Bernard perpetrated a hoax because she has, quote, a long history of abortion activism in the media. Fuck you.
Fuck you!
God damn these people. On Fox News, host Emily Campagno said she found it, quote, offensive that supporters of abortion rights invented a fake rape victim. No corrections, no mea culpas.
No,
we got it wrong. None of that shit. As far as Fox News viewers go, that lie is still circulating in their little fucking red hat circles.
They're still slut-shaming a 10-year-old.
Yeah, exactly right. And then this story comes out. The debunking of the Wall Street Journal, the debunking of the Daily Caller, all of that shit. So the whole thing falls apart. And then what Fox News does is that Fox News and the Red Hat Entertainment Complex and the Republican Party itself start targeting the Indiana doctor, Dr. Caitlin Bernard. Fox News is posting the name and photo of the doctor on their network.
Oh my God, these fucking people.
Jesse Waters had it last night, information. Fox News primetime, for fuck's sake. Essentially, if you remember what happened on Bill O'Reilly's show, Bill O'Reilly spent a great deal of time back in the 2000s talking about this one OBGYN who performed abortions, George Tiller. And he nicknamed George Tiller the baby killer. And this was sort of an ongoing narrative on Bill O'Reilly's 8 o'clock Fox News show before he
because
was
Dr. Tiller.
Yeah, before he was
doctors in the country who was brave enough to help out women who were in dire medical distress and needed third trimester abortions.
Yeah. Yep. So Bill O'Reilly makes this an ongoing attack line, goes after George Tiller on his show over and over again, putting a target on the guy's head. And then, of course, George Tiller is assassinated in a church, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The second time he'd been shot.
Yeah, the second time. And this was all because of Fox News targeting this guy, putting big crosshairs on his head and saying that guy is killing babies. I've got another clip here in a second that goes even farther than that. But what we're talking about here is I hope this doctor in Indianapolis has some sort of bodyguards, police protection, something. Because she is now an immediate target. And we found out already that the Attorney General of Indiana is now going to investigate the doctor.
For doing her job.
For doing her job.
For helping out a child who is traumatized by rape and pregnancy that she probably doesn't even entirely understand.
She wouldn't at 10 years old, especially nowadays. I mean, you know, please. I learned about sex when I was in seventh grade, so I was 11. And our poor teacher, God bless Dr. Frost. He was poor man, bunch of girls, poor guy. Anyway, our sex ed was literally our bodies ourselves. And then we had to send a note home with our parents to sign off that we could be in this class for the 2 weeks, a week. I think it was only a week long in our science class that we were being taught sex ed. And I know some of my friends were not allowed to participate in that. And this is in the 70s. And so it's, and people are not being taught. They're taught abstinence. A 10-year-old girl doesn't know what abstinence means. She doesn't know what sex is. This poor child was violated horrifically by an adult man and got impregnated by him. And then they're trying to make it so that, first off, she's a fucking slut, which she's 10. And two, as if she, even if they, even God forbid, she had not been able to get that abortion that she vastly needed, she would have had to have carried something in her body. She wouldn't have known what was going on.
Right. And it could have very easily killed her anyway.
Yes.
And the fetus as well.
Yes. The potential human and the actual human being could have died because making this person go on with the pregnancy. And by the way, fuck Josh Hawley for being transphobic, that fucking piece of shit asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but you know that professor, Kiara Bridges? Mm-hmm. She fucking handed him his ass on a pizza. It was brilliant. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to go ahead and call out your line of questioning as transphobic. And it was like, oh, it's on now.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I talked about this on our show the other day. There was a documentary I saw 15, 20 years ago. And it was about trans people. And this one couple that they were following, the trans man had been, you know, living as a man for years. You would have never known, by the way, looking at him. It's like, and it's from the South, like Louisiana, like deep South, not well off, poor. And he never got his ovaries removed because that's surgery and it costs money and why bother, right? He finds out in his 50s or pushing 60 that he has ovarian cancer. And this, again, was 15, 20 years ago. And nobody would treat him.
Jesus.
Because a gynecologist is like, well, you're a man, so this is not my this is not my thing. Plus, it's the South, and it was 15, 20 years ago, and he didn't have money to leave to go to New York or California.
And a lot of doctors are conservative white assholes.
Yeah. Exactly. And so what happened was he eventually died from the one thing in his body that was technically female.
Yeah.
This is the thing, is that like Hawley and them don't want to, they want to, it's like, just because you don't acknowledge us queer people, we don't just disappear. Like, yes, there are trans men who can become pregnant, Josh Hawley. So that is it's real. Now, you want to laugh about it and giggle and say it's not, but that doesn't make those people not exist.
Right. Yeah.
It just makes their lives that much harder.
Well, the thing with Josh Hawley, too, is after the fact, he went right on to Fox News Channel and started crying and whining like a little baby about how the witness was trying to censor him. Because he refused to believe.
She canceled him.
Yeah. So
these
sad.
Guys, they think that all
Missouri
black women
can cancel
be,
his ass.
I mean, the reason it stings for him is because he looks at a black woman and thinks she should be the cleaning lady.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. The same thing happened with what's-his-face, the former chief of staff, when that Florida congresswoman called him out and he called her an empty barrel or whatever. Do you remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they get super angry when they are called out by a person, especially a woman of color. And it just like she was not having his bullshit because he's trying to pretend that things are not the way they are.
Yeah. Well, one of the things they're most pissed off about is the fact that we're right a lot of the time and they don't like being wrong and they don't like being proved wrong either. That creates this resentment and backlash against liberals, you know, for being correct on the issues. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Don't mean to make you sad. Don't mean to make you.
The facts have a well-known liberal bias.
That's exactly right.
In the words of Stephen Colbert. And it's like, you can play these games if you want. But the problem is when we come up against actual reality on the ground.
Right.
Like with COVID. It was not listening to your press conferences, Mr. Ex-President. Like it, and it's oh, God, there's so many people sick again right now.
Yeah, we're going to get into that on the shadow docket. Yeah, it's But lots of bad news when it comes to COVID. There's not a lot of, I mean, there's a little bit of good news, but mostly bad news. But before we wrap up this segment talking about this Indiana doctor and now this investigation, the Attorney General, Todd Rokita in Indiana, who's announced on Fox News, by the way, that he's launching this investigation. He said, "We're gathering the evidence as we speak, and we're going to fight this to the end, including looking at her licensure if she failed to report. And in Indiana, it's a crime to intentionally not report. This is a child, and there's a strong public interest in understanding if someone under the age of 16 or under the age of 18, or really any woman, is having an abortion in our state. And then, if a child is being sexually abused, of course parents need to know, authorities need to know, public policy experts need to know." So they're making this—
Of course the parents know. Who do you think drove her to the fucking doctor, you shithead?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, she just wandered across state lines into an OBGYN
all by herself.
As tenured,
small government, guys. Small fucking government. Right. You know, let's prosecute a doctor for helping a child in need who had been traumatized.
Yeah. But they're framing this doctor as potentially a child sexual abuser.
Right.
That's what the sense is. And then if a child is being sexually abused, of course parents need to know. Authorities need to know. Public policy experts need to know. So they're essentially categorizing the doctor as being a sexual predator. Jesus fucking Christ.
I think I just had a little stroke.
The gulag states.
And burning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hold that stroke, because when we come back... I got this clip of another hearing in the House of Representatives. I think this was yesterday with Congressman Ralph Norman talking about how women want to be allowed to murder their babies after they're born.
Yeah. And that's number one on our list, just letting you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They taste good with a nice Chianti.
Yeah, horrible. Fucking horrible. This is one of the biggest lies. This is a Trump lie. This is a Trump lie that just, it's like a zombie. It will not fucking die. It will not go away. And no matter how often
it's
we
like,
debunk
abortion
it,
terminates a pregnancy.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay, well, are you going to kill a baby that's born? No, that pregnancy has been terminated.
Right.
It's over. The baby is out. It's not a pregnancy anymore.
All right, well, we're going to get into this this audio here in just a second. Back with more show after this.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
This song. This is a recording artist named Novelist Me. All one word. has a single called Never. As in, never! Never!
This is like total like Top Gun music to me. Like it's, I kind of started out like Danger Zone, you know, and I'm like, this is like 80s action movie music. It's perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. You got it. You nailed it. Again, Novelist Me is the name of the recording artist. The song is called Never. Link in the description under this episode of BobSeska.com to support all of our indie bands here on the show. And BobSeska.com/music to submit. All right. So Ralph Norman is continuing to perpetrate this Donald Trump lie that Democrats want to be able to murder babies in their crib. Give birth, put them in the crib, and make them comfortable, and then murder them for some reason. Which
he does know that that's already against the law.
It's already illegal. It's already infanticide. You can't do it. Otherwise, you're going to be arrested for murder.
Right.
Also, by the way, under Roe and Casey, which have now been overturned, no abortions unless there's a medical emergency after the point of viability.
Yeah.
So after the fetus is able to survive outside of the uterus, you cannot have an abortion of that baby unless there is a severe medical emergency.
Right. And did you hear me yelling at the guy on Stephanie's show last week?
No.
He called twice about that. That saying that liberals want to, you know, and I'm like, I was still shaking when I got home. I was so angry. I was like, no, that's been against the law since Roe. It's been against the law since Casey. And Stephanie goes, I'm just going to let you go.
Yeah. I would have screamed.
No, no.
Yeah.
Broken.
And then he tried to call
wall.
Back the next day. And then she just hung up on him when he goes, well, you hung up on me yesterday. Oh, okay. Click. You know.
God damn it. Was his name Ralph Norman? Was that?
No, his name is David, I believe.
Okay.
And most likely he
wouldn't
didn't. It wasn't you. I know. I would recognize your voice. And he's most likely a paid caller that just didn't get on long enough to get his check.
Oh, I see. Okay. So he had to wrap up to make sure he fills his quota. I get you.
Right. It was a whole thing. And she was like, yeah.
All right. Listen to this exchange from the House of Representatives the other day. This is Ralph Norman. Yeah, it's going to hurt.
It's going to actually make me dumber to hear this.
Well, the good news is that the witnesses push back big time. This is kind of cool what they do here.
You agree with infanticide?
Well, I think you're using...
Okay, he starts out by saying, do you agree with infanticide?
Do you agree
infanticide?
With when you stop beating your wife?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you agree with infanticide?
Infanticide's against the law.
Well, I think you're using inflammatory language to basically describe a situation that does not happen. We don't have infanticide happening. Doctors would not do that, and neither would folks who have carried pregnancy.
Okay, would a healthy child... Do you agree if a healthy child is born, that is that woman's right to decide if it lives or dies?
What I think is, based on your question,
fucking hell. Fucking hell.
What?
You know, okay, so the witnesses are going to do a fine job. We're going to play the more of their audio here. But I just want to say, you know what? When someone brings this up, the first thing out of your mouth has got to be, infanticide is already illegal.
Uh-huh.
That's got to be the first words out of your mouth.
That's
infanticide is illegal. If a baby is born, you cannot kill it.
No.
Let me just offer a bit of advice to my fellow white men here.
Yeah.
White guys, white people all listening.
Yeah.
When a black woman goes, what? You stop talking. Whatever you're saying right then, you just let it drop.
Yeah.
Like, because it's, yeah.
Yeah, perfect bit of advice there. Yeah, okay,
Governor,
here we go.
Please proceed.
All right, here we go.
I have a very low opinion of pregnant people. Because if you think anybody would carry...
Answer the question.
Excuse me.
Answer the question.
I'm answering it. Do you
you're not.
You want to answer
take it
or you want to keep talking over witnesses? What I'm telling you is nobody would carry a pregnancy and then decide on a Monday because they are bored that they want to have an abortion. That's ridiculous. And it's inflammatory. What you're saying, you're talking about families who are in tough situations where folks have been excited about carrying a pregnancy. Most of the abortions that happen later in pregnancy are really tragedies where it's really a disappointment for everyone involved.
But you agree with...
Get him!
I take it with all those words. You do agree with basically murdering a child after they're born. Miss
No!
Graves.
No!
No, she doesn't!
Fuck.
What the fuck?
Where is he getting this shit? He's just like pulling it out of his ass.
Yeah. Well, what he's doing, this all goes back to, and it's ironic that this guy's name is Ralph Norman, because it goes back to Ralph Northam, the former governor of Virginia, who talked about what we would consider to be palliative care, hospice care for babies who are born with severe terminal birth defects, where that baby is going to die, and that is a fact. So what happens is you can either put that baby through all kinds of unnecessary pain and anguish, artificially extending their life, or you can make them comfortable and pain-free as they naturally pass on. And that is a fact of fucking life that happens all the goddamn time. And now, because of the way Ralph Northam described that process, Republicans, and especially Donald Trump, who repeats this all the time, mm-hmm. are saying that women want to be able to murder their babies after they're born. It's a colossal, dangerous fucking lie. And
it goes back to, like, the gypsies and the Jews will steal your babies and use their bones to make flour for your bread. That's what they're doing. It's that kind of dehumanization that, like, leads to, like, mass murder.
Yeah.
Like,
it's categorizing women, pregnant women, as murderers.
Yeah.
Or possible murderers that we need to keep an eye on. You know, otherwise, you never know when they're going to just strangle their baby in the crib, you know, because Democrats want to make that legal. Here's more of this. Here's more of this hearing.
Can you answer that? Would you just yes or no?
I have to say, Congressman, how you just characterize the representative's statement is extremely inflammatory and the type of thing that it's dangerous.
And what
you guys have been talking today about the threats against crisis pregnancy centers, which I assume are serious and are terrible. The threats
I've
that
got
people
a limited
who work
time.
On abortion
I'm not letting
access
you reclaiming
take every
my time.
Single day.
I'm assuming that you're for infanticide.
Of this
I would
of,
also
oh
say
God.
That her, her language is healthy.
Madam Chair,
not okay.
That, gentleman's time.
Congressman asked the question.
He's reclaiming his time.
Okay, that's it. That's it for that. And of course, as soon
just,
as...
like. It's just like, it's like she's saying, you know, water is wet.
Yeah. Right.
Water is wet. He's like, well, I'm going to assume from what you're saying that water is dry. Like, it's just like he's like reaching past his hemorrhoid suppository to pull this shit out of his ass.
Just.
And it's just like, dude, just like fucking go home and just like drink some Drano and put us all out of the fucking misery of having to listen to your crusty old white ass. Mm-hmm. Lying and just sorry.
Yeah. Well, Jody, this is something I wanted to mention to you specifically because I don't know if you've received any of these kinds of DMs since the Dobbs decision was handed down, but Kimberly has received a number of them, not only DMs on Twitter, but also replies from trolls on Twitter where they say, I own your body now. And that's kind of the one of the many unforeseen circumstances of this ruling, which is that it's giving people who have toxic masculinity circulating through their veins, it's giving them an excuse to abuse more, to have more dominance over the women in their lives. This is going to harm so many women, even outside the sphere of the abortion debate. Because now, if this sort of troll meme has any truth to it, that means there are a certain number of men who believe they now have dominance, dominion over women because of this ruling. I own your body. Have you heard that? Have you received that troll message?
Well, okay, first off, she gets trolled way more than I do because she's got a lot more followers, A. Two, I don't follow people who can DM me on Twitter. So,
oh, I see.
I mean,
right.
It's only people that follow me that we follow each other that I can direct message. And secondly, on the Facebook thing, I don't check any archive. I don't check those messages.
Oh, that's good. That's a good policy.
Because
to have.
I don't see the point. I don't know them. I don't fucking care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I think, Jody, you may be like me. You may have enough resting bitch face in your profile and avatar picture.
That could be it.
People are just like, you know what? I'm not going to. You know, I thought about sending that person a hassling message, and no. Because I don't get a lot of trolls. When I do get them, I think we've talked about it, they're fucking epic, evil, like satanic people. Like, and there's one every 20 years or something. But a lot. I was always kind of curious as to why I was not getting more flack from people, but I honestly think it's that I have a rep.
I think sometimes like, the trolls
he's
know
he's crazy and he'll cut you. Yeah,
sometimes trolls are smart enough to know who not to fuck with, and I wouldn't want to fuck
that's
with
it. It's like all bullying.
Yeah,
bullies are cowards, and bullies only go for people that they feel like cannot hit them back.
Well, the good news on this topic, so we'll end with a little bit of good news here. The Biden administration told hospitals that they must provide women access to abortion in emergencies, mm-hmm. even in states that have banned the procedure following the Supreme Court's decision. The Department of Health and Human Services cited federal law that health emergencies take priority over state laws banning abortion. Quote, under the law, no matter where you live, women have the right to emergency care, including abortion care. That was from the Health and Human Services Secretary. Today, in no uncertain terms, we are reinforcing that we expect providers to continue offering these services and that federal law preempts state abortion bans when needed for emergency care. Thank you, Supremacy Clause. Justice mm-hmm. Department also announced that it's launching a, quote, reproductive rights task force to prevent overreach from state and local governments seeking to impose new bans on access. Democrats in Congress, meanwhile, plan to vote this week on legislation that would protect the right to travel for abortion services and explicitly give healthcare providers the right to provide abortion services and patients the right to obtain them. The bills, however, are all but certain to fail in the Senate, where Democrats lack 60 votes.
It just makes me crazy, though, that we're having to talk about women's right to travel. Yeah. It's, yes. Are we fucking Saudi Arabia now?
Yeah, no,
like,
shit.
It's just like...
Yeah, Charlie Pierce has been talking about the Fugitive Slave Act. I think it was passed, I want to say 1854. I could be wrong on that. But the Fugitive Slave Act is kind of what the Republicans want when it comes to pregnant women in their states. And it's only a matter of time before that expands to having, like, checkpoints at the border. Almost like, well,
just like
East
like
Berlin.
Stopping women randomly in Minneapolis and being like, let me see your papers. Are you a resident? Like, are you here from Indiana or Ohio to get your...
Yeah, where like suddenly Arkansas is like East Germany, where you have to go through barbed wire and pass dogs and guard towers.
Well, Charlie Pierce has been talking about that. It's like, okay, so what are you going to do? Stop. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, people who can get pregnant, they don't start showing until the fourth or fifth month.
Yeah.
So then you're going to have to disallow women to drive, play sports, jog, ride a bicycle, drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, do anything between the ages of, say, 10 and 50 at least, because they could be pregnant. And the worst time to harm a fetus is the first trimester, the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. So, and you're not showing that. And so are they going to, I mean, this is fucking Gilead, man. This is not this. And then they're going to prevent women from driving.
And then there are trans men, though, who can also get pregnant.
Thank you. Like, exactly.
So we're just going to check everybody's genitals and blood status before they can, like, at the TSA.
Well, they're not going to bother with trans men because, you know, they only worry about them going in the ladies' bathrooms at some point. Yeah. But, in fact, it's just trans women going into women's bathrooms, which is just dumb. Regardless. They're going to basically, okay, you want to fly to New York from, you want to fly to New York from Missouri. Mm-hmm. All right. I have a trip. I'm going to Manhattan. All right. First off, we need a pregnancy test to make sure you're not pregnant before you get on this trip.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I think there needs to be some movement by the administration to provide at least emergency access inside these states. Use federal land, military bases, what have you. Because guess what? And this is something I've been talking about all over Twitter. So if you follow me on Twitter, you've heard me or seen me say this a bunch of times. But the Hyde Amendment, which technically blocks federal money going to abortion services, has exceptions for three things: rape, incest, medical emergency. So at the very least, the federal government can provide abortion services to civilians in at least those three circumstances. So that would go a long way toward helping sexual assault victims and people who may be in states where there are fetal personhood laws where you can't even have an abortion for a medical emergency. So it'd be a stopgap. Sure, it wouldn't be an outright solving of the problem, but at least it would help victims of sexual assault in these states.
It just makes me so angry because nobody should have to explain why they need this.
No, exactly. Of course not.
I mean, you know, nobody should have to account to the men of government why they need reproductive health care of any kind.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had an argument, not a discussion with Sean last week regarding the company that he works for, as well as many other companies. They're like, if women in states where we have, you know, business need abortion services. We're happy to pay for their travel. And I'm like, that's great. But women shouldn't have to fucking tell their boss why they need to leave the state.
Exactly.
It's fantastic that they're doing this. I applaud them
for it. I don't want my boss to know
it,
I'm having an abortion.
Why the fuck should I have my boss have to know that I have to leave the state because I need a medical service? That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad they're doing it. Fantastic. But that should not have to be... hi guys, do you want to let your boss know that you need to get a vasectomy? By the way, they are up, and thank you men for coming to the fore on that. But
yeah.
It's like, really, you're going to have to tell your boss that you need medical care.
Like
that
if
you
I had
cannot
to fly
get.
For out of state care for like an STD or something.
Yeah.
I have to explain to my boss that I've had sex with, you know, just no.
No, it's
wrong.
I mean,
thank you, companies, but
yes,
oh
thank
my God.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. But that no person should have to go to their boss to take time off and then go, by the way, I need, you know, $200 to get across the state line because I need a medical procedure. Well, what would that be? Yeah. I mean, come on. This is fucking ridiculous. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty much a nightmare in these states. And I started calling them gulag states. I think that's appropriate terminology.
Yes.
And obviously gulags are places where they send you and you're forced to do labor. In other words, forced labor.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what's happening in the red states. Labor with a different definition in those terms.
But I feel like women in those states should stop paying their state taxes because it's taxation without representation. Like if you're chattel, if you're property, you shouldn't have to pay taxes. You know, like, I don't know. It's just a thought.
Well, how soon before they roll back women's right to vote? Well, I guess they can.
They're trying.
It's a constitutional amendment.
But that can be repealed.
Oh, certainly it can. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that was on the agenda somehow. But at the very least, the Supreme Court or state law or even federal law can't do that because it is a constitutional amendment. So they're kind of stuck, and they would have to ratify a new amendment in order to do that. But it wouldn't surprise me if they were working on it. I mean, already Mark Levin's got a whole list of constitutional amendments. As soon as they hit whatever it is, 38 state legislatures, once again, state legislatures, people. Once they hit, I think, 38 state legislatures controlled by Republicans, they can start having constitutional conventions and shit like that, ratifying new amendments. And Mark Levin's got a whole list.
Do they honestly think black people are going to be like, oh, let's just go back to the plantation days? Sure.
Yeah,
we're going to quietly just, like, give up our rights. Or me, like, I'm going to just quietly allow them to unmarry me.
Well, what's going to be shocking is if we keep on this trajectory, and I say we, I mean the red states keep on this trajectory.
States,
yeah, not me. If they keep doing this, there's going to be like a refugee crisis at some point.
Yes.
I mean, what if they start locking down state borders and shit like that?
They're going to have to.
Yeah. Because obviously, if you continue to follow this line of reasoning out to its logical conclusion, we're looking for ways around state laws, ways to get medical services to pregnant women in those states. Eventually, the Republicans will have to react with some sort of more restrictive security at the border or tracking or whatever. Whatever it is, it's just, I mean, repealing the right to privacy is going to have so many unforeseen circumstances. It's just it's too horrible to even begin to enumerate all of the long-term problems with this. So we got to fight. We got to push back. Shadow Docket coming up next.
Vote.
Yeah. Shadow Docket coming up next on BobSeskaShow.com. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.